Well, welcome. I'm Emily. This is Denise. That's Anne. And we're equally excited and terrified to be here with you this weekend. Over a year ago, I was chatting with June about if I had any idea of who could make a woman's retreat speaker. And I was like, yes, I have five of them, and they would be amazing. And we have this group of friends. A couple of them are in the front row who are all fully capable of speaking at a women's retreat. And I just happened to say, well, I think Anne and Denise have done it before, so you should ask them. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, we were roped into the three of us doing this. They might feel like I roped them into doing it. I'm not sure. But we're just really, actually really excited to be here with you this week. We became friends through Fort Wilderness. So we met when we were summer staffers here in our high school years. There weren't as many rules back then, and we did lots of really fun stuff.
They may have developed some of the rules because of us.
Yes, but probably some rules were developed because of us. We were allowed to counsel some of your children. That is scary. And then in college, we all actually served as like leaders on some summer staff roles, and then ended up all going to college together through different circumstances you'll hear a little bit about this weekend. And then somehow, when did we graduate from college? In the 90s. Late 90s.
Almost 2000.
We have stayed connected to each other and stayed connected to Fort. And one of the awesome reasons we were able to stay connected to each other is because in college, Tom Robertson said to us one weekend, if you need a break, you can come up to camp for the weekend and just get away. And so I don't know how many of us came up that weekend, probably 8 or 10. Carrie was probably with us. And we stayed in the inn and we made our own meals and started a tradition of having a girls' weekend. And so we've just stayed closely connected. We don't live in the same towns, but we Marco Polo every day. Anybody Marco Polo here? Yeah? Okay, Marco Polo is like a video messaging app. My kids call it Snapchat for old people. And we continue. Angie and Teresa are down there, and the three of us and one of our very good friends, Tammy, who lives in Thailand, we actually chat almost every day on our phones. And so God has just given us this very sweet friendship over the years where Christ has been the center. And we are in different places. Like I was just thinking as we were singing, we're going to talk a little bit tonight about our hopes and dreams for the weekend. But we sang this song, like, we stand, I will not be shaken. And I thought, oh, actually, I know in this row right here, some of us are feeling shaken. And we're coming into this weekend with heavy burdens and things in our lives. And I know, as I look out in this crowd, that some of you had really hard weeks and you're bringing in heavy burdens. And then some of you had, like, the greatest week and you couldn't wait to be here and now you're happy you're here and you have no burdens and that was easy for you to sing. And I just want to say that there's space for all of that this weekend. So we'll chat a little bit about what the weekend will look like for our teaching times, but what June asked when we first started talking was that we'd spend tonight just sharing our stories with you. And so what we decided to do is pick some stories that might embarrass us, but would give you a glimpse into our personalities, and then a couple stories of how God has worked. But the theme for Fort Wilderness this year has been, Isn't It Merciful? And so as we thought about the weekend, we thought it'd be kind of fun to kick off just sharing with you some places where we've seen the mercy of God in our lives. Did I cover it all for now? All right. Denise is going to kick us off.
All right. So about 9 years ago, I was working toward my master's degree, and I decided to do it online. And this is where before online was cool. So I did my master's degree online because I had 4 little kids at home at the time. Oh, family. Yeah. Yeah, so that's my family. My son Isaac on the left, and then Nora is in the middle, the one who Katie knows. And then Ezra and my husband Dan. And we had 4 little kids at the time because we also had a foster son. And so I did most of my work starting after all the little children were asleep, or I would do it on weekends at Panera. So I decided one Saturday morning I was going to get up extra early and head to Panera, and it was the thick of winter, and I also had to pack up our 2-year-old foster son at the time because he was doing visits with his dad. So I had to drop him off, I think it was like at 7 in the morning, and then I was going to head to Panera. So I bundled Aiden up, I bundled myself up, I drove him dropped him off at his dad's house, and then I went to Panera. And when I stood at my table after I got my coffee, I stood at my table and I unzipped my winter coat, and I realized I was still in my pajamas, like full out pajamas, and I was not even wearing a bra. Like, who does that? I mean, I don't really need a bra, but still. I wasn't wearing one at Panera. And so I thought, oh my gosh, I can't go home, because the second the children see me, they'll want to be with me, because my husband had this like invisibility thing where I was like, can you see him? There's your dad. Can you see him? Anyway, so yeah, can anyone relate? It's gotten a little better. Yeah, so I couldn't go home, so I was like, I just am going to kind of wear my coat, wear my pajamas. They were cute, you know, like flannel plaid. And I just cranked out a few hours of homework. So the mercy, oh, we're going to end our stories with how God is merciful. So the mercy is, though, like a couple weeks before that, I went to slide my card at Panera, and the lady goes, oh, you have free coffee every day for a year. And I was like, what? Is that a thing? And it was a thing for me. I don't know if it ever was a thing for anybody else, but the Lord was super merciful. So the cool thing is that I kept going back because I had free coffee. I didn't care about the pajama thing. I had free coffee. So that was great. So that's a little glimpse into my younger years.
So like Emily mentioned, we all worked on staff here back in the 1900s. And and here's my family. My husband, Scott, and my son, Sam, who's 19, and Libby on the end, who's 15, and Emma is 13. So we're all super tall. We know that. anyway, so back in the 1900s, we worked here, and I worked mainly in the Nature Center, the Creation Center, and I can't believe the amount of responsibility that they gave me, even though I was like 15, 16 years old. I was leading canoe floats down the Wisconsin River. I was doing hikes out into the National Forest. I didn't probably know even where I was going. And the story that I'm going to tell is about a night pontoon stargazing event that I led. And so we were out on the pontoon boat, and there were way too many people out there. I can't remember if it was during family camp or kids camp, but the pontoon boat was packed with people. And so, like, I barely knew how to drive a pontoon boat, right? And so we were out on the lake, and all of a sudden someone on the boat heard or saw something on one side of the pontoon boat. And everyone rushed to that side of the pontoon boat, and I felt water rushing by my feet over my ankles. And so I started to yell, no, we have to get it balanced, go to the other side. And so they all rushed to the other side. And we kept going back and forth like that. And it was mass pandemonium until finally I got everybody sitting back in their seat. And we got the pontoon boat stabilized. And we just went back to shore. And that was the end of our stargazing. Because I was just like, oh my goodness, we could have lost somebody. But like I said, that was back last century. Rules are different now. That would never happen to any of your kids.
Speaking of last century, I had a girl last year ask me, why were so many people born in the 1900s? And I was like, well, most of us wouldn't be here. We'd all be dead if you didn't have 19. Anyway.
Oh, no, that's the end of my story. Yep.
My family, maybe? Yeah, there we go. Hannah is on the right. She's a sophomore at Eau Claire. Josiah is our very dramatic 15-year-old. He's 17. I don't know. Hard to keep track. Then myself, my husband Mark, and our oldest Ellie, who just got married this summer, and Isaac on the end is a junior at Eau Claire. So that's our little family. I have two quick stories. One, I thought, I was trying to think of like involving Fort people, and I thought about when we went to Nate Moe's wedding. So Sandy's son Nate got married in West Bend, and we went, and my husband wasn't available, so Denise is my plus one, right? I don't remember why. And we showed up at the church, and we saw who became her eventual future husband, Dan, but she didn't really know him yet, but I knew him from being on summer staff here. I hadn't seen Dan in years, so I was really excited. And I ran across the parking lot, and I gave him a big hug. And while I was hugging him, I thought, oh, that feels strange. And I looked down, and my skirt had fallen down to the ground, all the way down to the ground. Uh-huh. Yep, and she watched the whole thing happen. Yeah. And then the worst part is Dan isn't, like, really necessarily as, like, go with the flow, maybe, is, no. And so I think he did not know what to do. But the mercy was, I don't have any of these anymore, but at the time I owned a slip, and I had a slip on, and the Lord protected Dan from, yeah, right, yeah. And then just because a couple of these women are in the room, I feel like I need to share that when we were on summer staff, I was one of the RAs, so I was in charge of the summer staff, which, as we all know now, was probably a bad idea. But at the time, you know, like we said, less rules. And so one night, we decided all of us were going to go skinny dipping. You're welcome, Teresa. Uh-huh. And so we went over to Black Lake, which I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's very shallow for a very long way out. Right? I'm not joking. And how many of us were there, do you think?
Oh.
40?
30,
40. Who was there?
Oh. Oh, we have other members here.
How many of us were there? Like, so many of us.
30?
Yes, 30, maybe between 30 and 40 of us. So, okay. What? Oh, Kelly, were you there too? Oh. Yes, this is awesome. Okay, so we are on the shore. We all pile out of the Fort Wilderness vans. And there is a car in the parking lot, but it's empty, so we don't worry about it. We strip down, all of us, buck naked, and we're going out. And in my memory, it was a full moon. I don't know if it was full moon, but it was a bright night.
A lot of full moons, though. Many full moons.
Many, many full moons. Yes, many. And so we're all going out, and we're kind of trying to hurry because, like I said, it's shallow for a long, long time. And all of a sudden, the headlights from the car turn on. And we are all in the spotlight. And so every 41 of us hit the deck, except for our friend Teresa, who decides to jump up in the arms of another one of us, I think it was it Karen or was it Michelle?
Karen.
Karen's arms. And so I just remember looking out and seeing a whole bunch of little butts floating in the water. And Karen holding our friend Teresa, just like, buck naked, yeah. So anyway, I don't know how long they stayed there, but it felt like a very long time. The mercy was, I don't know, they drove away, I guess.
I don't know, cell phones were around then, so maybe no photos?
No photos, that's a mercy. But I just have this imagination that some two teenage boys were out there, or probably more likely a couple making out, and all of a sudden they looked out and saw 40 naked teenagers, and I just, wow. I know. So I don't think we do that anymore. I think, like, there's bad, but many problems. Banned. Yeah.
Banned.
So you can send your teenagers here still. You can. Because we're not in charge anymore. But anyways, if that shows you a little bit of our personalities, that's some mercy.
So I started coming to Fort when I was maybe 11 or 12 years old. My uncle Dan had joined staff, and so my cousin Rachel was his daughter, and I started going to junior high camp with her. And it was just a really cool thing for me. I had some amazing childhood. I grew up in a great family and had a great childhood experience, but I believed the lies growing up that love had to be earned, that grace had to be earned, rest had to be earned. And when I came to Fort for that week, it was the first place where I was like, oh my gosh, I think this love could be a free thing for me, that I don't have to do anything for it. And it was, people are just oozing with grace and with great sense of humor, and no one took themselves too seriously. And it was just really refreshing for me. And so after that summer, I came back every summer. All through college, I came to summer camps. I went to leadership lab. I served on staff in various places. I tried to fill Ann's shoes at the Creation Center, but all my animals died.
That's true.
Emily was witness. Lots of dead frogs. I'm like, stop bringing me the frogs. They just die. Anyway, don't tell the boys. Anyway, so... Yeah, it was just such a refreshing place. And then in the summer of 92 is when I actually served on summer staff with these two and a couple of my friends in the crowd. And again, it was just like an amazing gift, a joyful community that I got to be a part of. Well, anyway, a few years later, I'm going to college, and I'm walking up the steps. The day I'm moving in, my arms are full of all of my luggage. I'm going to school at Stevens Point. And back then, you didn't really, like, know where people were going to college, or you just didn't know. And so I was walking up the steps, and coming down the steps is Anne. And Anne goes, "Denise Dalmas?" And I'm like, "Oh, my gosh, Anne Harrison, you're going to school here?" And it was this crazy thing. So Anne was a sophomore, and she was volunteering. Well, I hope you got paid. That didn't seem
fun. No, that was just volunteer.
Wow. Okay, anyway, she was helping freshmen move in. Why did you volunteer for that?
I have no idea, actually.
She's a better person than me. I did not volunteer for that my sophomore year. Anyway, so Anne was coming down the stairs, and she ended up living one floor above me directly. I just had to leave my room, run up the stairs, and there was Anne. So that night, we went to a, like, I don't know, mixer in the basement of Burroughs Hall. And there was this guy that we had met, and he was from, you know, Sheboygan area, which I'm from. And he was just, we were talking and sharing. And he shared some joke around about Catholics. And he said, "Yeah, I can share this joke because I'm Catholic. What religion are you?" And Anne says,
"She's born again believer. She's a born again
Christian."
And
so am I.
Yeah. Or no, I said, "I'm a born again believer, and so is Denise."
And I was like, wow. There, it was said, like, Anne put it out there.
I have never said that since, I don't think, in any conversation other than that one.
Yeah.
So I was really trying to impress these guys, I guess.
But the cool thing about it is, even though it was a shocker to me and a shocker to that guy, he was like, wow, God used that moment to draw a line in the sand. It wasn't like I was going to college thinking, yeah, I'm going to party, I'm going to do whatever, but I also wasn't going to college with this intentional, I'm going to pursue the Lord. And that moment, Anne said it. You know, I was a born-again Christian. And the cool thing about that is that guy was actually really uncomfortable with it, and he kind of came at me that whole year. But it really helped me to find my faith. It really helped me decide, what do I believe? And Anne honestly was there just mentoring me, being in the thick of people who didn't love the Lord and yet showing me just how to pursue the Lord. And then another cool thing happened my freshman year, the internet, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, besides, you know, being a Christian.
Oh.
Anyway, and I was able to email Emily. Emily was going to St. Mary's in Minnesota, and at the time,
and I think the first ever email I ever sent was to Denise.
Yeah, so we would email back and forth, and Emily was not having the greatest year. And then you went back anyway, your sophomore year. And we both decided to go to Snow Rodeo during our sophomore year of college. And at Snow Rodeo,
which is like here at Fort Wilderness over winter. What do we call it now? Winter camp? Oh, that's boring.
Yes. Snow Rodeo is much more exciting. I don't think there was anything rodeo to it, by the way. There were, like, no ropes or horses, so don't, like, clear that image out of your mind. But it was fun. And so over that week when we were at Snow Rodeo serving together, Emily and I decided that she needed to switch colleges. And so, yeah,
I did. I went back second semester to St. Mary's, and I did one day of classes, and I dropped out. And 2 days later, I showed up at Stevens Point.
And then she moved into our dorm. So it was, again, like another one of just the Lord's mercies, because Emily has been a friend to me who's said really hard things that not many people would be brave enough to say to me that I needed to hear, and it's been a gift as well. So, again, the Lord's mercies have just been amazing coming out of my relationships here at Fort Wilderness.
So my Fort story started when I was 5, and my family somehow found out about family camp. And we came and we stayed in, I think it was called Yukon Cabin. It was one of the Klondike cabins, you know, the ones, they were very old. And they had, like, fake storefronts to look like a Western town. Maybe that's where the rodeo comes in. Rodeo. So I just remember these cabins were really rustic. They had bunks that were three layers high. And being a little kid, I thought, well, I'm going to sleep on that top bunk. And so I did, and I fell out in the night. My mom says I didn't even wake up. So I must have been a sound sleeper.
Probably sure. Were knocked out.
Yeah. Well, I survived the incident somehow, and that cabin was infested with mosquitoes. And for some reason, my family came back. We came back the next year and the year after that. We did actually start bringing our own accommodations, though. We brought a camper, and we stayed for years in a camper, and we had such great times at family camp. And then at around age 11, my family started to fall apart, and my parents got divorced, and Fort remained a stabilizing force in my life. It was my home away from home. It was my place that I could come and be known. I just would, you know, pull in the parking lot so excited to get here to work on staff or to come to a program, and there would be a hug from Ron or Tom or people who knew my name, and they knew my story, and they... just like someone was saying before, the unconditional love, I think it was you, Denise, who was talking about the unconditional love and grace that was shown to me here was phenomenal, and it really got me through those years that were so tricky, and especially Leadership Lab was a really pivotal point for me in those high school years, just having people mentoring me and leading me on with Christ. So the two things that were God's mercies to me through Fort Wilderness were really nature and people. And I just grew to love God's creation, and that paved a path for me to study forestry in college. And now my husband and I live in the Northwoods and work at a camp and just get to enjoy this beautiful creation all year. Although I would have to say winter is long up here, but... I like to say we're far from Target, but we're close to nature. So that's great. But and the other mercy to me, like I said before, was the people here and just all of the love that was showered on me during really, really difficult times in my life. So this is really fun to be back and to be sharing in all of this weekend.
My Fort story starts at 3. When my parents decided to family camp with a bunch of other families that nobody really believed the Bible was true but wanted a safe place to go on vacation. I don't know exactly how they found Fort, but I do know that later in life I found out that the staff prayed really hard the weeks that we would come because we would bring 8 to 10 families that didn't really know Jesus, and we would circle up our campers down by the homestead and bring even our family priest. And had just some crazy things happen. But anyway, God's mercy, my very first major memory was when I was 5, and during children's ministry, so the parents would come in the big top and the children would go to the children's ministry. My class met down on the steps going down to the lake. And I don't have super vivid memories from my childhood, but this one feels very clear. And specifically because the woman who was teaching our class talked about what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus. And I really wanted a relationship with Jesus. And I remember her asking us if we wanted a relationship with Jesus to pray and ask him for it. And I think the main reason I remember this so clearly is because the woman teaching me didn't really have most of her pinky finger. And I know that sounds strange, but it like sealed in my mind this moment. And so I really think that it was a genuine decision that I made. And then the Lord just really grew me through the years. Like one time we were at family camp and Ron came to all the families and he said, junior high camp is next week. Could you just leave us all your junior hires? And for some reason, all the parents were like, sure. So
I don't have a hard time believing the parents would leave the junior hires.
Right. No. Camp. Yeah. You want our kids for a week? Yes. So I think we went to town, did laundry, came back, and did junior high camp. And it was little deposits along the way. I went to Leadership Lab, and my mom told me before we went, remember, we don't believe everything they believe. And I remember at Leadership Lab, at some point, those 3 weeks, going, why not? I think this is legit. And I started to discover for myself. And then it was really Fort Friendships in college that brought me to a place where I really surrendered lordship of my life. Denise said, I said some hard things to her in our friendships, but definitely Denise has said some hard things to me in our friendships that have been so God-given and refining. I was thinking the other day about, we went on a hiking trip together one time, and I was probably hungry, and I was really tired, and I was just not having it. And Denise asked me a question, and I think I said maybe a bad word to her.
Maybe a few gestures.
And I told her off because I just was so ticked in the moment. And she just looked at me with kind eyes and said, hey, just because you're upset doesn't mean you have to be mean to me. And it changed my life. And I'm not even saying that lightly. It was a moment where the Spirit spoke to my heart and was like, you don't have to be mean just because you're tired. And I'm not saying I'm not mean ever again, but I don't want you to think that. But those are the kind of gifts that Denise and Anne and Angie and Teresa and our friendships have given me over the years, is truth in grace that have changed and molded me. I just want a quick follow up about the pinky finger lady.
Yeah, because I was wondering about that.
I know, it's actually a really sweet story, and I did ask permission because she's actually here tonight. And I know I actually get a little teary, but like when I was, after we graduated from college, my husband and I moved up here, and we were on staff here for a few years, and one day I was talking to this woman, and I was like, she doesn't have half of her pinky finger. And I was like, I'm sorry, this is kind of strange. I don't know where you are in the room. I'm trying to find you, but okay, she's over there. I was like, did you by any chance like serve in children's ministry like in the late 70s and early 80s? And she was like, yeah, I did. And I was like, I trusted Christ with you when I was like 5. And anyway, I don't even know if she remembers that moment, but since we've had a few times to connect. So Margaret's sitting over there, Margaret Raths, is like just been a faithful, yeah. Isn't that sweet? So I saw her in here tonight, and I was going to tell the story anyway, but I did, since she was in the room, I said, can I talk about your finger? Is that okay? I'm sorry if everybody looks at your hands this week, but it's, but she's just, I mean, she's a beautiful soul, and she's a beautiful woman, and our paths have gotten to cross over the years, which has been really, really sweet. So the ministry of Fort Wilderness has been special to us and merciful to us in many ways. So when June asked us if we would come this weekend, we got together. We actually came up here for a night or two in the spring. It was very cold, but nobody was here, so it was kind of nice. And the three of us sat in the hearth room for 2 days and just prayed, asked the Lord what he would have for us for this weekend. We brainstormed, we dreamed, we went out for dinner, we came back, we dreamed some more, and we felt inadequate, but asked the Lord that he would provide. So what I found this week was some of the sticky notes that we had, and I just want to share with you that a big part of the time we spent praying for you guys, ourselves as well, but we were like, okay, women's retreats, like some people love them, some people hate them, some of them you're glad you're here, some of you got dragged here, there's a whole bunch of stuff. So we just spent some time praying for you and then dreaming about what this weekend could look like. And so I have some of our sticky notes I'm just going to read for you. These are our hopes and our dreams and our prayers for us collectively this weekend. The green are things that we're hoping for. We want you to feel lighter this weekend. We want you to feel like this is a place where you can lay your burdens down, which is actually the next one, that your burdens will be lifted and that you would feel encouraged. So we hope that isn't through our talks, but I really think it'll also come mostly from each other. As you share and you open up with each other and you bring your whole selves to the weekend, we want you to feel burdens lifted. We want you to feel encouraged. I mentioned before, I know there are burdens in this room, and so we're praying that this is a safe place for you to give it to the Lord and give it to each other. We want there to be space for you to hear God's voice this weekend, and so one of the things we prayed is that you would just know how to regulate yourself. I know that sounds dumb, but if you need a little alone time, just take it. You know, it's okay. If you're here with your friends and you say, I'm going to go by myself for an hour, like, that's good, and that is okay. If you need to take a nap, you know, there's many books that say the most spiritual thing you can do sometimes is take a nap, and I believe it. But we want you to find space. And one of the things that God is really teaching me in the last couple years is that it's easier to listen to him when I make space to listen to him. And so if you need to make some space this weekend, we're praying you would have that. We want laughter. Well, the three of us, the five of us, can make each other laugh so hard we pee our pants. So I'm hoping one of us pees our pants this weekend. I hope it's not me. Although we already had, we're all in a big room together. And I was like, oh, okay, there's one top bunk. And I was like, who isn't going to pee in the middle of the night? And I meant, like, get up to go pee because we're, you know, in our 40s. And Anne was like, I don't think any of us pee our pants.
She thought we were in diapers already. And I thought, I hope I'm not the first one out of the group, you know.
So I hope we laugh till we pee, but not in our beds. Okay. We want you to feel seen this weekend. So if there's a burden you need to share, we want you to find somebody to share. And we really want you to feel seen by the Lord. And we want you to know more about who the Lord is. So we prayed that through our talks, you would be reminded of God's character and who he is, and that you would hear what your heart needs to be reminded of. Okay, and then we brainstormed things we don't want. We don't want you to compare us to each other. We don't want you to compare yourselves to us. We don't want you to compare yourselves to each other. None of it. We want to lay all the stuff that the world tells us women we're supposed to do, and just, if you need to walk up to the hill and throw it over, just leave it outside of camp. Let's just not do that this weekend. Let's just give space for us to be ourselves. We don't want you to feel more burdened. So as we've been preparing our talks and meeting and praying together, we're just praying that we wouldn't add anything to your back that doesn't need to be added. This is the same thing. We don't want more burdens. We don't want to diminish what God's done in our lives, and we don't want to diminish who God is, and so we hope that we faithfully proclaim things we know to be true about him, and we want you to hear it. If you're struggling with some stuff or you hear something that feels like it's not real in your life, we want you to hear that we're speaking who God is, and we don't want to diminish him and what he's done in our lives. We don't want you to feel should on this weekend, so we're going to try not to give you formulas of how to walk the Christian life, but just invite you to meet your Savior. And we just don't want any space for lies. And so as we've been praying for you, we've been praying that you would just hear truth and have space this weekend to be refreshed by who your Savior has made you to be. And we invite you to join us in that.
So to kind of provide a backdrop for the talks that we'll be giving this weekend, I just recently have been thinking about this influencer that I started following on Instagram. And I started following her because her home was so peaceful and minimalist, and I really resonate with that. I don't like a lot of clutter and a lot of stuff. And so just her little videos or her pictures of her home, very simple. She was very much talking about how we should declutter so we can spend time on what's really important in life and keep our wardrobe simple and just really focus on simplicity. And I was like, oh yeah, I really resonate with this. So I started following her, and I'm not on Instagram that much, but I just really enjoyed her posts and her pictures. And then all of a sudden I realized that as I kept following her, that every day there was something I needed to buy in order to have a simple life. And to keep my house decluttered, I needed to buy something else. And it was starting to get a little fishy to me because it's the opposite of what I thought she would be telling me to do as she's preaching this simple, decluttered life. And I was thinking about how I prefer more of a shop-your-own-home kind of thing, a shop-your-own-closet, meaning if it's time to decorate for fall, look around, what do you have in your house that might say fall without being like a it's fall y'all sign or something like that.
Which is fine if you like your fall.
If you're
we're all
signs,
for that sign.
Yes, yeah. I love that sign. So sign it up. If if signs are your thing, just buy the signs.
What if it's one of the crafts this weekend is a fall y'all sign?
Is it really?
We need Ron to do that craft this weekend.
Crafts with Ron tomorrow. Yes, I'm going to be there. Anyway, or like for your wardrobe, maybe instead of buying new clothes every season, what do you have that you could repurpose in a different way? And so this weekend, we are going to be talking about things that are in your spiritual closet already, things that are already hanging there, things that are true of you because if you know Jesus, these things are true of everyone who knows Jesus. And so they are already there, ready for you to take out and use. So we're going to be highlighting three of those things this weekend.
So starting tomorrow morning, Anna is going to talk to us about the mind of Christ.
So the Bible says we have the mind of Christ, but what does that mean, and what does that really look like in our lives? So Anne's going to help us walk through how to think about thinking and our thinking and see what the Bible has to say about our minds. And then tomorrow night, I'm going to be speaking on the peace of Christ. So I'm going to share what it could be like to experience the peace of Christ, the shalom of Christ, and by being in his sanctuary. And then Emily is going to wrap it up Sunday morning by looking at the Spirit of Christ. So she's going to talk about what it means to surrender to the Holy Spirit and how to keep in step with the Spirit in your life. So to close this evening, I'd like to just say what Emily has said too. We are so thankful you're here. We hope this can be a weekend of renewal, rest, and restoration for you, and that you can just feel like there's space for you to do whatever you need to do, to hear from the Lord, to hear from yourself, and to find rest. So to close this tonight, I'm just going to pray for us all for our weekend. Dear Lord, thank you so much that each of these women are here. I know this is planned. I know it's planned. You don't do anything on accident. So thank you, God, for whatever it took for each of them to be here. I just pray right now, God, that this weekend feels like a big exhale for each of these women. Lord, that while they have this space, that they could quiet their thoughts, that they could quiet anything that is a distraction from you, so that they could hear from you in whatever way it might be, God. It might be just being alone. It might be from the talks. It might be from skipping the talks if they want to. Just, Lord, I just pray that whatever each woman needs, that they could hear from you, Lord. I pray that you can just speak your love and your mercy and your goodness into their lives. Also, I just pray any protection, that you would just guard all of our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, so that no lies can come in, and that we could just be open to hear from you. So thank you again, Lord, just for this opportunity. I just pray that this weekend together is just a blessing to all of us. And just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.